Welcome into a new edition of Rock's Comic Conversations. I'm Rock, your host. You can find me and follow me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock On Air. That's ROC On Air. Being joined by Beefcake and Braga. Where y'all at?
Man, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. You know what they say?
Yeah.
Beefcake rocks.
I say that all the time. Like I established last week, you can find me in St. Louis rolling on dubs.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Related topic, I have a quarter tank of gas in my new E-Class.
I got a full tank of unleaded.
We could go on with St. Lunatic's references.
I just switched to Ice Cube.
Okay. You did, now that I think about it.
Full tank of unleaded.
He does.
Wow, off the rails already.
Already! So, Fall TV is here, and it's been,
I know, man.
Eh?
Can I get some decent programming up in this B-hatch?
No, the answer is no.
No, not at all.
I watched the second Gotham episode last night. Gotham is okay so far. They're about to introduce the Mad Hatter character, and I'm kind of excited for that. They showed like a little preview for next week. I'm excited for that because the guy who plays him, as we established, like looks really cool, is probably going to be really good because he's a good actor, so we will see.
I will say coming up later on the podcast, we will have Michael Rosenbaum calling in, and he will be telling us about Impastor Season 2, which premieres tonight, which is a super funny show. Don't know if y'all are watching it yet. It's on TV Land, which at first you're like, hold on, that's not going to be good, but it's fucking money.
Yeah, right in between I Love Lucy and
I Dream of Jeannie, bro.
Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah. Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this show is so edgy. It's so dark. It's so good. It's awesome. I don't want to say too much, but basically Michael Rosenbaum plays a gay pastor undercover because he basically had to steal some dudes out of it. It's a crazy whole debacle, but he's smoking weed in every episode. He's pounding pussy. He's got gay dudes hollering at him that he's not paying no attention to.
No, but he's got to make like he is paying attention to him, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's bro. Money, it's so dude. Good. It's so good.
Hey, Michael Rosenbaum. Go get out there and smash, Michael Rosenbaum. Yeah, go get out there and smash, bro.
Hey, go get you some. But it's a
you
great.
You converted me.
It's a great show. Season 2 begins tonight on TV Land. Make sure y'all check that out if you can. But in Pastor, I'd highly recommend it. He's also Lex Luthor. They're celebrating 15 years of Smallville this month.
Does the voice of Flash, too?
Yeah, he's been with DC Comics since, like, 98.
He's rad, dude. Yeah. I really like him.
Wow, he's, like, three knuckles deep in DC.
Bro, super deep.
Super deep.
Jesus Christ.
He was on Justice League, the animated series. He was on a couple of different DC WB movies that have come out over the last several years playing voices. Like, he's really, really entrenched with DC.
You know, he really was probably the best Luthor in terms of
ever
writing. I mean, for the writing that he received, Kevin Spacey got the short end of the stick. Jesse Eisenberg, even though he's not, you know, like Lex Luthor, still he's not even in the discussion.
No.
Unfortunate. Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum does a good job, so good on him.
Yeah, he probably is the best Luthor as of right now.
In my opinion, nobody touches him when it comes to being Lex Luthor, and a lot does have to do with the writing, but this was the first time you actually saw Lex Luthor not be portrayed really as some zany, wild, maniacal individual. Like, he was very gathered. He was very precise in the way he went about doing things. And he was determined to have Clark be his best friend until he found out that Clark was, in fact, the alien that crashed to Earth, bro. And then it was rap. His mission was steal Lana, fuck Clark. Not to be confused with his role from Impact.
Right, not that kind of fuck Clark. Right, right, right.
Just so we're clear.
I'm just keeping up appearances, girl. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Thank God. I was hoping everybody did.
Just me. Braga does it. He's clueless.
You know, we were like disrespecting Gene Hackman so much, but he didn't get the writing either as Lex Luthor. He got a crappy, campy Lex Luthor version. So,
but when
great actor, terrible role.
When Lex Luthor was written back then for the Donner movies.
Yeah.
Lex was in the comics portrayed as that kind of zany, kooky, almost Mad Hatter-esque guy. Like, he was zany, he was wild, he wasn't the methodical, diabolical Lex Luthor that we have known over the last 20 years or so.
And all of this will change when they finally give us Bryan Cranston as the real Lex Luthor in these Justice League movies,
if that happens.
No, it's going to.
I would like to think so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, man.
But there's been some missteps already, so
there sure have.
Hey, reel in your kid, by the way. Reel in your kid, Lex Luthor. Talking to you. You need to go put Jesse Eisenberg on notice. Stop it. Stop all the bullshit.
He said, I ain't with the Eisenberg, man.
Tighten that leash.
Which is crazy if he ends up becoming Lex's dad in the DCEU because Jesse Eisenberg and Heisenberg. You see what?
Right.
It's all connected. It's all cosmic.
Shit.
It's all magical.
Shit.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, man. I just I was discussing The Wire the other day, so I got Clay Davis shit like just stuck in my head. Shit.
Say it again.
Shit.
Man, he's got a long
this motherfucker.
He's got a long drawn out shit. That guy.
Yeah,
does.
Man. You
got
to so take good. A dump every now and then. So, good. So back to the fall TV. We got off topic here just a little bit. You said you had some Gotham.
You can't let that go. He's like, yeah, man. You got to take a shit every now.
I just. I mean, it happens.
You can't let that go.
You do in a toilet, and then you flush, preferably. Sorry, or you live like a heathen and you give zero fucks about flushing.
This is the first time I've ever looked at this podcast objectively and been like, why do we do this? Do we just get on here to talk about shit?
Yeah.
Or do we just get on here to talk about shit?
Shit.
Shit. What's happening?
Throw something at him, please. Please throw something at him.
Dude, you were like locked in a loop right there. Like your bootloader was just going over and over.
You gotta hit him or something. Hit him on the side of the head. Get him to work again.
Yo, man, we gotta restart the kernel on rock.
Lord Jesus, give me the strength. Fall TV.
Yeah.
What about it?
What else is out there? I mean,
I thought Rocket was gonna get us on the Gotham.
I got you. So Gotham is looking good. They finally episode two. They finally grew up Ivy. I don't know. Are we spoiling how they did it? Is that okay? Can we do that?
Feel free.
Okay, so they...
Hey, spoiler alert.
So
trigger warning!
So, like, skip ahead a couple of minutes or something. They...
or not.
So when Doctor Strange got captured, a bunch of his creatures or monsters or whatever got released. Included in that was Fish Mooney. Fish Mooney was then running things with all of the quote-unquote freaks, and one of the freaks has the ability to grab a person, just touch their skin, and age them significantly.
Oh, see, that's a good line right there. So, I like that.
And so the first thing they did was kill Hugo Strange's assistant. So, like, they sought her down. She was under police custody until something happened, and then they this person grabbed her arm and aged her to the point where she died. And then Ivy came into their presence and then kind of escaped, and he kind of grabbed her arm as she pulled away, touched her, she fell into some water, came out the other end, aged.
Shaved so like, a couple of years off her.
So basically episode two, she's like a, I don't know, like 19 or 20 or something like that on the show. They haven't actually said yet because obviously she's still actually young, but she's now, well, I don't know really how it works yet.
See,
but
that's an interesting way to do it. Good on them.
I agree. No, like we went into it. We were talking shit about it. It's like they aged her just so they could have her be seductive, just so they could like have boobs on the show or whatever, which they do. But it's actually a good way to do it. I thought it was actually clever and it like worked within the show. And now you have grown up Ivy who's going to figure out who she is.
And it makes sense the way they did it.
It does.
All right.
I was actually pleasantly surprised by that.
You know, good for her though. She skipped puberty and puberty's whack anyways. You don't want that. You don't want any of that.
No, she didn't have to do the whole middle school thing, like all that bullshit in freshman year, dealing with cliques. She didn't have to deal with the cliques.
Yeah, she's got questions though.
Yeah.
Lots of questions about her.
Well, yeah, I liked it. So I like the direction they're going in, and they got Mad Hatter coming in next week.
I will say I am not up to date with Gotham yet. I have not seen any of season three. I think I'm going to wait for the winter break to come because they take like 4 or 5 weeks off in the winter, so that'll give me a perfect window to binge and get ready for that second half of the season.
I mean, you're going to have the whole thing spoiled by me way before that.
And that's fine because I stopped being concerned about spoilers for Gotham like probably two seasons ago.
Right.
Just shut your brain off and have a good time.
There's nothing you could spoil for me at this point.
You got to be emotionally invested in it.
Correct. Yeah. Nothing about it is content from canon pretty much other than the character name. So there's no possible way I could be anticipating a plot point because it's never going to come.
I also saw, I'm caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which did bring in Ghost Rider in the very first like minute of the show. He's very prominent in the first episode of this season, and he is cool. He just plain is cool.
You like the Robbie Reyes portrayal, that incarnation?
Yep. The guy who plays him is great. The character itself is great. I mean, one episode in, so whatever. But
is he swinging chain?
Yes. I'm trying to think back. Not like, you know, like in the movies where it's like a big
thing. Well, that's because he's on a motorcycle doing it. This guy's in a car, right?
Yeah, he's actually in the car. Like the car itself, like the wheels turn on fire. Like the top of it turns on fire. The, like, I think the road does too when he drives away. Man, I'm like having trouble remembering it. But Anyway, I liked it. I mean, he fought Daisy, who's like the main S.H.I.E.L.D. person now, who is like escaped, and Coulson's trying to find her. It's this whole thing. If you didn't see last season, then there's no point in me trying to explain it to you. But yeah, Ghost Rider's cool.
I'm glad you dug it, man, because like I said, there was a lot of people that were worried about that going into the season.
Yeah,
was,
yeah. It's risky.
Was it going to be a character that people would catch on to and vibe with?
Yeah.
But B, there's already so many casts or characters in that cast that why add another one?
And like, would it even fit?
Yeah.
Like, would Ghost Rider fit into the
different tone and everything?
Yeah, the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters at all. And so far, so good. I mean, he's clearly a bad guy right now, but a bad guy who will probably end up being a good guy at some point, just because of, you know, he's like conflicted bad guy or whatever. He's like a bad guy on paper just because there's fire and he kills people, but he kills bad guys, so whatever.
It's okay. Is it really murder if you're killing bad guys? Ain't that what Dexter said?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. He's Dexter, right? He's the Dexter of the Marvel
Universe. That's what it sounded like.
And by the way, like, the first group of dudes he killed were like white supremacists. They made a point to like point that out, that these were white supremacists, and he killed them. So it's like,
all right,
well, I guess we're on board with him,
so
even
then,
though people are against him.
Could he possibly, like, is that something you would have seen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before he showed up? Like, or is
killing
that
white supremacists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
something
they would have done tonally prior to that cat joining the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they've definitely dealt with like discriminatory issues and stuff like that, especially with like the Inhuman characters coming to prominence. Because remember, they tied it into the movies. So like, as people were being discovered in the world, like these superhuman, like metahuman characters, mm-hmm. or whatever. Obviously, it's Marvel, but they followed along with that, and so they had like the whole you had to like register character or register yourself and all that stuff. And
you had to register
people like discriminating. Yeah, remember? I think it was.
Put numbers on you too,
like Winter Soldier, right?
You mean
Civil
War?
I might be thinking
with the Registration Act. That's what the whole storyline's about.
No, but like, you know, so they've definitely dealt with that before, but they made a point to point out that Ghost Rider is going to basically be a good guy this season.
Well, we've got Michael Rosenbaum calling in about 5 minutes. Before he does, we've got Flash right around the corner. Premieres Tuesday, Arrow Wednesday, Supergirl not till the following Monday. And I believe Legends of Tomorrow is next Thursday as well.
They just showed an image today of Green Arrow with Supergirl.
Yeah, because they're getting ready to drop the new Fight Club trailer tomorrow.
Man.
You remember the Fight Club trailer from last year?
Refresh my memory.
Oh, I'm going to try to refresh your memory. We'll see if I can't find the audio here.
Yeah, so they just put Supergirl on Netflix. And like, I texted you when I saw that, Rock. I was like, they're testing me right now, because Netflix is like too easy. Like, I could turn on Netflix literally like anywhere in my house. I put on Netflix before I go to bed.
Or at work.
Exactly, right? Like, I put on Netflix before I go to bed. So like, they're testing me. Am I actually going to watch this?
All right, this is super, super, super long, but it's so good.
That's what she said?
Come on. Not even a hint.
When talking to me, damn straight she said it.
Nope.
And then she jizzes in your beard.
Now, so I think mm-hmm. he deserves a proper initiation.
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah, this was good.
I just have to say, I think you two really put the super.
It's something we do to blow off steam.
Wait, we?
Just remember, this club has only one rule.
There are no rules.
By the way, like, while this is setting up, they announced this week that Deathstroke is going to come back on Arrow, too. So that...
I saw that, man. I saw that, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Him and Ollie on the bench.
Yep. They put out that promotional image with it, and it looks really, really cool. And that's, like, the golden era of Arrow so far, is the seasons with Deathstroke. So them bringing him back. And by the way, like, that's big, them bringing him back, because they have the movie character now.
Yeah, so, the dynamic between Manu Bennett and Stephen Amell, super fire.
And I wonder if that has something to do with Flashpoint. That might be one of the things or something. I don't know.
I would hope so.
That could be cool, man.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So what you think of this, Beef? You over here watching?
Dude, you guys are high. You put on this thing and it's just music and the sound of swords clanging.
Yeah, why do you think I've been talking this whole
so
time?
So visual, dude. So visual.
It's so visual, but so good. And I want to know what you what do you like what you see?
I do like what I see. This looks excellent. Yeah, so I don't know about the guy in the green, but I'd watch the homeboy in the red.
That's Arrow. That's Arrow. Wait till you see him shirtless.
Oh, about this dork in the green.
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Looks like he's whooping people's ass.
And by the way, I did watch the first two episodes of Supergirl, and the opening with had me thinking exactly what we've talked about, where I'm like, this is corny as shit. Like, I'm not interested in this at all. But like, I got into episode two, and it's like, all right, this might be okay. But they have those like network TV moments, dude.
Is this what Flash looks like all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch the show.
Oh, he's like, yeah, I'm on this.
Yeah, I'll watch
it. Good, because we're going to start talking about it every Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I would love for you to be involved in the combo.
You got some binging to do.
Feel free to participate, douche.
You got some binging to do.
Yeah, man, you got to catch up, B.
No,
but
how many do they got? Two seasons?
Two seasons, 23 eps apiece.
Dude, you know, 44 minutes apiece. Pet my cats and watch Netflix? Hell yeah.
46 episodes.
Shout out to Dexter and Gary.
Yeah, we've got Flash on the way back. We've got Arrow on the way back. Legends of Tomorrow. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. Yeah. Big Bang Theory's back. Tons of great shows. Legion is on the way, right?
Yeah, man.
Ghost in the Shell, you wanted to mention real quickly. I know that it's not a TV show. It's the new movie trailer.
Yeah, they just released another thing for Legion, too. That show, like, really has me excited. That's going to be really good. But yeah, like, the Ghost in the Shell teaser came out where they actually showed what Scarlett Johansson looks like, had her talk. They showed what the other characters look. Did you see it, Beef?
I saw a couple of them. Saw
so,
two of them.
I, like, my first thoughts, like, fuck, man, she's white. She really probably shouldn't be white.
Yeah, she's real white.
But fuck it if this doesn't look really, really good. Like, I can't get over how good it looks. Like, I'm legitimately excited to see it now. Like,
doing it.
Like, I can't, you know, like, all that bullshit racism aside, I'm just enabling them. But I want to see the movie. It looks sick.
Yep. And that's right up your alley anyway, though, that genre of film.
Yeah.
Push it down deep inside you.
The shame.
Yeah,
the
all
shame.
That shame you have. Just
tuck it away.
Yeah, just keep pushing that down.
Keep
pushing it down.
Beefcake, what show are you waiting for the most out of the fall? I would like to know what Beef is going to be watching this fall.
I can actually answer this.
Awesome.
This is awesome.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. 46 episodes of Flash.
Man, you stupid. The answer is Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Back on Adult Swim. It is going to be so good. They're going with a continuation of the story that they went with last time. I will not ruin it for anyone. Rick and Morty is irreverent. It's uncouth. It's terrible. Not politically correct at all, but an excellent show, and I can't wait to see where they go with it, because currently We're in a little bit of a lurch with a lot of the main characters, and we're going to see what goes on, and I think it's going to be one of the best things of the fall.
Man, like, I've been told by so many people I need to watch that show.
It's so good!
See, that's the problem with, like, Adult Swim shows, is that they're sometimes on Netflix, like, they're kind of hard to watch. Like,
yeah.
They don't really have those deals with Amazon and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
I think the best thing that you can do with Rick and Morty is if you...
Like DVR.
No, get all of the unedited versions of it, like off a DVD, even if you steal them off the internet or whatever.
Right.
Do it, because they're so funny. Without editing, they're so fucking funny.
Cool.
Rick and Morty is Beef's show of the fall. I got to say, so far since South Park has come back, it's been very strong.
Strong, yeah.
Very strong. Might want to check out season 20 of South Park. Also, Big Bang Theory has been very good. Can't wait to see what happens in Flash and Arrow. We'll get you caught up to speed on that next week. And right now, we're being joined by a very, very special guest. None other than Michael Rosenbaum, star of Imposter. Season 2 premieres tonight. That's on TV Land at 10:30. How you doing this morning, sir?
Well, my dad also says I'm special. I don't know what he means by that, but I'm his special son. Is it weird that we had a party for the show last night? It was a premiere party for Imposter and Younger on TV Land. And I don't know what it is. I'm 44. I work. You know, I've done shows. But I kept a whole stack of napkins that said Imposter. Is that weird?
It's about as weird as somebody who, like, plays with their own action figure.
Well, I don't do that, but I do have my own action figures. As you know, I was the bald-headed freak. Con man freak in Imposter.
Yeah, you do. You play Buddy in Imposter, and the show is super twisted. It's all kinds of inappropriate. It's dark, it's morbid, and it's amazing. I know you're the executive producer, but how did you originally get the show presented to you?
You know, this producer, I did this pilot with the Fonz, you know, Henry Winkler, John Michael Higgins, who's a great comedic actor, Missy Pyle. I did this pilot, the Russo brothers, who did, you know, those Marvel movies. They directed it. And the show didn't go anywhere, but the producer, Eric Tannenbaum, who produces Two and a Half Men, said, "You're really good, and I'm going to get you something." And you usually hear that in Hollywood, and you're like, BS, it's a bunch of bull. You hear it, and you just take it in one ear and out the other. And he called me a couple years later, and my agent says, "Hey, Eric Tannenbaum's got this script," and I read it, and I go, "It's this great, what network?" And he's like, "TV Land," and I'm like, "Not going to do it." Do it. I'm like, well, they show Golden Girls, and I love the girls, and I love Gilligan's Island and Maynard G. Krebs, but hey, man, I want to do something edgy. And they're like, "Remember AMC? Remember AMC that showed movies, and now they show Mad Men and Walking Dead? Well, that's exactly what TV Land wants to do." And I didn't believe it at first, and we took it to the top, and we talked. I go, "Well, you know, I say the word that rhymes with fuck here," and I... And then there's, like, here I show my butt, and then I'm doing a bong hit here, and I'm playing this gay path. This is all going to stay in the script? And TV Land promised me. They said, "Yes, we want to do something different. We love this show. It's original. It's weird," and like you said. And I believe them, and they asked me to be a producer on it, and it's a chance of a lifetime. You know, it's we have so much fun on the show. And, it's a blessing. So I can't even believe I'm talking about season two. You never think the pilot's going to get picked up. You never think there's so many shows, and you think we're going to get canceled. And it's found an audience, and people are really digging it. So it's a blessing.
On the phone with us right now is Michael Rosenbaum, star of Impastor. Catch the season two premiere tonight at 10:30. That's on TV Land. You can follow Michael on Twitter at mrosenbaum711711. Now, what kind of craziness is in store for Buddy this season? And tell me more about the evolution process of Buddy, like from season one to season two. You started to see it towards the end of season one.
Well, you know, I mean, I think he's this calm man on the run, loan sharks and everybody, and he doesn't really care about, you know, I don't think he's apathetic. I don't think he's soulless, but he's sort of like just trying to survive. It's like survival mode for him. And through season one, he's like, who are these people in this little weird town now that he's a part of playing this fake gay pastor? And he's like, how could they be this good? How could they be really good people out there? So, and then there's a few things that happen where you're like, is there such thing as divine intervention? There's no way. I don't believe it. But things start happening around him, and I think there's a very small part of him that's going, what's going on? So there is this evolution into season two, but then it just turns a lot darker, where I think the season two, you always have to push the envelope, and it's more ambitious, it's more, you know, there's more murder, there's more sex, there's more everything, and you know, a lot of times people push this, you know, they'll throw it at you on a TV show, but this, it happens organically. It feels, you know, everything happens for a reason, but he gets himself in more trouble, and the congregation knows he's up to no good, and is like, how does he get out of this one? And I don't even know how I get out of this one.
There's tons of weed references on Impastor, which is perfect because I consume tons of weed while watching Impastor, but do you actually smoke?
Well, you know what? There's an episode where, the bishop comes into town. He kind of wants Buddy to become the bishop, maybe, because he's like, hears that he's like, you know, just a progressive pastor and all these things. And Buddy's like, what? No. So he's got to convince the bishop that he is not right for the job. And so the bishop walks in, and I'm just taking this huge bong hit. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no, you caught me smoking a bong. Call me smoking pot, something that's legal in Oregon, probably not legal in the rest, probably not very bishop-like. And he's like, well, you know, God did grow grass. And then I'm like, wait a minute, you're forgiving me for this?
He's trying to rationalize it, like, well, you know, the Lord and Savior did give this to us. We might as well use it.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And then, you know, it's like, I give him a burp toss, you know, when you catch your burp and you throw it. I'm just trying to do everything I can to make this guy go, this guy cannot be bishop. So there's just stuff like that you're just like, holy crap. You know, there might be a scene where I have to have sex with an older woman. I mean, I'm talking like 80.
Jesus. So
we'll see how that pans out. there's just a lot of, I mean, they're always pushing stuff. I mean, I'm like, all right, I guess I got to do this. Do you guys want me to be naked in the bed today, or can I at least wear underwear? What am I doing here?
Let me keep my socks.
Let me keep my socks on. Let me have some side of a modicum of pride here.
We've got Michael Rosenbaum on the phone right now. Season 2 of Impastor. It does premiere tonight, 10:30 on TV Land. Follow Michael on Twitter, mrosenbaum711. I've got to ask you about Smallville. This is actually the 15th anniversary of the show. And in my opinion, this is only my opinion, you are still the penultimate portrayal of Lex Luthor on screen. Nobody's nailed that part better than you.
It means the world to me. I was just talking about that. And It just really, it makes me happy. It's like, you know, you do a role and you always think, there's no way they're going to cast me as Lex Luthor. There's no way I'm going to get fired in the pilot. I'm just such a dork. And they shave your head and they go, okay. And then you make it past the first episode. The next thing you know, you're doing 7 years. And I guess for me, it was just like, play it real, man. Play it grounded. Play it your way. Don't try to do it any other way. Don't try to act like an idiot. You can't be the next. You know, because I think some people go into the role like, oh, I have to be crazy, and I have to do these things so outlandishly that, you know, people go, oh, what an actor. And it's just like, you know, just be real and things will happen. And so it just, you know, and it's hard because sometimes you're really good in the role and sometimes the movie doesn't turn out that good or the show doesn't turn out that good. And it was one of those things where everything, the quality of the show was really high. I mean, it looked great, the sound, just everything was the right timing, and it was just a lucky thing. It doesn't happen all that often.
Well, Michael, my final question to you, I know you got to get out of here, but what did it take to bring you back for that last appearance, season 10, the series finale after that 3-year hiatus?
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I love it.
No. Not that much. Honest to God, it was one of those things where I was like, you know, I called them up. Because they were trying to get me back for years, but I was like, directed my own movie, this movie back in the day, which you can get on iTunes. And I was just starting to do movies and shows. I just wanted to, because I did Smallville for 7 years. And they kept, and then after a couple seasons, they were like, you know, they stopped asking me because it was like into the last season. And I just called them. I said, hey, look, I think I should be in the last episode of the series. And you guys got me. Next Friday, if you want me, I'll come in. You got the whole day with me. You can shoot whatever you want. So we shot for 24 hours. One day, they gave me a bald cap. I went in, did a couple scenes, and it was it was one of the best things I've ever done. It was one of those things where you're like, this is what you have to do for the fans, for yourself, for just the show. And this is like, it was great. It was the right thing to do, and I have any regrets.
Michael, on behalf of all the fans, I want to thank you for doing that. I also want to thank you for blessing our souls with such a great comedy like Impastor, Super Cutting Edge. Season 2 premieres tonight, 10:30 on TV Land. Smallville actually starts streaming exclusively on Hulu beginning October 1st. Thank you for your time this morning, Michael.
You guys rock. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care. And get high.
All right.
That'll do it for this edition of Rock's Comic Conversations. Find me and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook at Rock On Air. That's ROC On Air. Follow Beefcake at Beefcake Rocks. Don't follow Braga. We'll talk to you later.